Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, you are now watching people who took the COVID vaccine experiencing unexplainable strokes, cancers, and other diseases and illnesses. Having spent almost a decade working for Big Pharma, I knew for a fact that after everyone was manipulated into taking the COVID-19 gene editing injection, it's not a vaccine, that stories of bad and adverse reactions would begin to rise. And we talked about this. I talked about this many times on podcasts in the end of 2020 and at the start of 2021. And here we are at day 787 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And nearly everybody that I know personally, I'm not talking about internet stories and I'm not talking about, you know, TikTok videos. I'm talking about people that I know personally. Nearly everybody has a story of vaccinated friends and loved ones experiencing a sudden onset of cancers, heart attacks, strokes, and other diseases. One of my closest friends, fully vaxxed and boosted, experienced symptoms after getting jabbed, resulting in a devastating stroke. Do you know anybody like that? I think you do. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, the COVID-19 vaccine didn't turn out as promised. Remember all the promises that they made about the vaccine? Promises like, vaccinated people can't transmit COVID. Vaccinated people don't get hospitalized, and vaccinated people don't die from COVID. All promises that have been 100% walked back to the point that they now deny ever even making those promises. But guess what? We have the audio of the sea of lies that were told about the COVID-19 vaccines. We have cataloged the proof. And on this Prophecy News Podcast, we play the tape so you can hear what they said. Then, we investigate stories of young, seemingly healthy people who are developing horrific and life-threatening illnesses in the immediate aftermath of receiving the government injection. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for all these that you've gathered here today and for the thousands more that will be listening in the archives. We're glad and grateful that you're expanding the borders of our ministry. And Lord, we have to be very careful. You've given us a platform. We have to use it for your glory. And Lord, we do pray that you would be glorified in everything that we do. Lois says, her beloved pastor, Joe Fall, pastored for nearly 40 years, and Lois says he was my pastor for most of the time. He has gone home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lois writes, my soulmate, my best friend, God's faithful servant has gone to heaven. I will miss him so much, but I'm so happy that he's with Jesus. You know what the Bible says? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul says this, talking about loved ones in Christ who die in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul says, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Pastor Joe Fall is asleep right now. Paul says that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also, amen, which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So Lois is praising the Lord for taking home her pastor. Landa Chona says, I have a prayer request from my friend Eric. Please pray for the sisters of his father, Angelita and Cheryl. They both got cancer after receiving the booster shots. And he says, greetings from the Philippines. We're so sorry to hear that, and we'll absolutely pray for them today. Rob says, praise report and prayer request. Please pray for shoulder issues. Just got back from the emergency room. And praise report, while I was waiting, I got a call about some legal issues moving forward that I've been praying about. Mia in Texas, she's going to court this week. I think in my head it was yesterday, but it might be today. And Mia is asking for favor with her court issue. Jackie H. is asking for favor with her court issue concerning her son. And have a praise report today. And you just have to forgive me if I'm a little emotional today. But one of my very best friends, we've been praying for her. She's been in the hospital this week. She suffered a stroke 2 days ago. And they had to operate on her yesterday. We've been praying for Annetta up in New Jersey. And I heard just minutes ago that she's woken up from her coma and they took the breathing tube out. I told you to forgive me for getting emotional. But the doctors say that she's talking now. And she had a really, really bad stroke 2 days ago. So I want to thank everybody who's been praying for her. Please, please keep her in your prayers. She still has a long way to go. But if you would pray for my friend Annetta, that God would give her a complete healing and that God would save her soul. I've shared the gospel with her so many times. I honestly think that she might already be saved. She loves the Lord. We talk about Jesus all the time. She talks about God all the time. But just pray for her salvation anyway. You guys know me. I always like to, even if there's 0.1% doubt and 99.9% looks good, I still like to pray for somebody's salvation if I'm not 100% sure. So just pray for her salvation and just pray that God would continue to heal her. I was talking with her on the phone when she had the stroke and man, oh man, it's been a rough couple of days. And so just pray for Annetta and pray for her husband and her daughter and her family. And, she has lots of people who love her. We love her and, just pray that God keeps his hand on her. So, Father God, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we thank you, we praise you, we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. About an hour ago, I got another praise report. About an hour ago, Scott Pendergraf, his wife is a member of a group up in Raleigh, North Carolina, called Daughters of the King. And I'm going to be writing about this after the podcast. But if you remember, they contacted us here at Now the End Begins a couple of weeks ago. And they said, could we get about 50 Bibles? We sent them 48. Could we get about 50 Bibles to take to this women's shelter up in Raleigh, North Carolina? And within 24 hours, we had processed their request and we shipped them out 5 cases of Bibles. And Scott sent me this message this morning, and I don't think he would mind if I read this to you. It's very short, so you'll have to listen fast. It's a very short message, but this is what Scott told me this morning. And his wife's name is not Regina, it's Danielle. Excuse me for that. But this is what Scott said to me this morning. He sent me this text message that made me shout. And with all the drama going on and the concern about my friend Annetta, I really needed a good praise report this morning. And he said this, all 48 Bibles were distributed just a few minutes ago. This is about, 9 o'clock this morning, 8:30 this morning. And Scott says, I delivered them personally. And he says, thank you so much for allowing me to do this. I came back out to my car and just wept. You know what that is? You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of somebody getting something done for the judgment seat of Christ. Getting a burden for lost people. Getting a burden for people who need to be ministered to. And what did he do? He reached out to us. He says, hey, I know that you have a free Bible and gospel tract program. Can you get us 5 cases of Bibles? Absolutely, brother. Just tell us where to send them to. So we shipped out those 5 cases of Bibles. And this morning, Scott and his wife, Danielle, they took those 5 cases of Bibles to the Raleigh Women's Shelter in North Carolina. And they gave them all out. They gave Bibles to some saved people. They gave Bibles to some lost people. And Scott says that when he was done handing them out, he was so overcome that he had to go back to his car and just get before the Lord. And he says, I came back to my car and just wept. So would you keep Scott and his wife in your prayers? Would you keep the women of the Raleigh, North Carolina shelter in your prayers? This is how you get something done for the judgment seat of Christ. People ask me all the time, what do you mean, get something done for the Lord? We're called to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Preach and teach the gospel, hand out Bibles, hand out gospel tracts, ask lost people to accept Jesus as their Savior, and remind saved people that they got a job to do. That's how you get something done at the judgment seat of Christ. If you have a ministry like Scott does, maybe you have a jail ministry, a nursing home ministry, maybe you have a homeless shelter ministry, maybe you have a small church and you need Bibles and you can't afford them, would you contact me and let me know? Send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com. We support ministries all over America and around the world. Let me know what your ministry is. And if you need Bibles, well, you've come to the right place because we have a free Bible and gospel tract program that people faithfully donate to every single day. And because of that, we're getting ready to go past 25,000 Bibles that we've handed out in just this year alone. More than double what we did last year. And the year isn't even halfway done. So please keep Scott and his wife and their ministry in your prayers. Please pray for the women of the Raleigh's, the Women's Center in Raleigh, North Carolina. And please continue to pray for the NTEB Free Bible and Gospel Tract Program. And if God puts it on your heart to be generous and to donate and to help us to do this, well, there's many ways that you can donate. Just go to nowtheendbegins.com and click on the donate button. We need your help. That's the only way we can do it. We are not a 501c3. We don't take handouts from the government. We don't let the government tell us what to say. And we are 100% supported by you guys. So I just wanted to give you that update, that exciting update. 48 Bibles handed out personally at a woman's shelter in Raleigh, North Carolina. Lord, we just pray that you would bless Scott and his wife and their ministry. And keep your hand on every one of those 48 Bibles that got handed out today. For the people that receive them that aren't saved, we pray that they get saved. And for the saved people that receive them, we pray that you would set them back on fire for you, Lord. And we just commit these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I wanted to give you the good stuff, the praise reports, before we have to get into the mud this morning, before we have to get into the dirt this morning. And we got to talk about something that makes me mad. I have been suspended so many times on Facebook. I have had the same Facebook account for 12 years. I opened it up in December of 2010. I have had the same Facebook account for 12 years. This year, I have been suspended more days than I have been unsuspended. I have been suspended on Twitter so many times I lost count. Now, why is Facebook suspending me so often? Why am I suspended more often than I'm not suspended? Why does Twitter delete my tweets? Or actually, they force me to delete them, but you get the idea. Why am I suspended so much on social media? Because I talk about things like the vaccine. And I told you from the very beginning that I was never, ever, never, ever, never, ever going to take the vaccine under any conditions, for any reason, under any circumstances, at any time. The only way I would take that vaccine is if the government came to my house, put a gun to my head, put my hands behind my back, and forcibly injected me against my will. And I have kept my word. I have not taken the vaccine. I have not taken the booster shot. And I have used this platform to warn people that this vaccine is very, very, very bad. And the vast majority of people that I know agree with my position. One of the things that surprises some people is when I tell them that in the beginning part of my career, those of you who know me know that I'm a graphic designer. I'm a website builder. I designed Now the End Begins. I built Now the End Begins. It's gotten to the point where I need additional help, but that's what I do. And in the early part of my career, for whatever reason, I wound up working for Big Pharma. And I did work for three different pharmaceutical companies. None of the companies that are making the vaccines, just so you know. But the pharmaceutical companies that I worked for were all multi-billion dollar corporations. And as a website builder, marketing specialist, and graphic designer, I found myself sitting in on meetings that had nothing to do with graphic design, but I was part of the team. And they wanted me to be in on that meeting so I could hear what was going on. And I heard some amazing things with my own ears. I'll tell you one story. This company that I was working for, I was sitting in the meeting, and this is a $4 billion pharmaceutical company. And I was sitting in this meeting, and on the phone was the CEO of the big pharma company. And the problem that we were having is that there was this drug that they had developed, and they had spent about $400 million to develop this drug. And unfortunately, It killed the vast majority of the people in the clinical trials. It gave them liver failure. Now, for legal reasons, I don't want to say the name of the drug. I don't want to say the name of the drug company. But if you've known me for a while, you know what companies I worked for. And this big pharma company that I worked for, that I was sitting in the meeting with, and the CEO of the company was on the phone, and he was mad, and he was yelling, and he was screaming. And the reason why he was so mad was because they were telling him that they had to pull the drug. And he said, why? And they said, because everybody in the trials is dead. The drug fried their liver. And you know what this CEO of this $4 billion corporation said? He said a couple of words that I can't repeat. And then he said, we spent $400 million on this drug. Now you go and find somebody to give this drug to. You go and find some sort of a disease, some sort of an illness that we can attach this drug to, because we have spent $400 million and we need to get that money back. Now, that's not a story. That's not an anecdote. That's not something that I read about on the internet. That's a meeting that I personally attended, and I am being a witness to what was said in that meeting to you right now. And this would have been 1999. This would have been the year 2000. So I am telling you my experience working with some of the world's largest pharmaceutical companies. I have been there. I have sat in the meetings. I know how they operate. I know how they think. And I worked in some drug company for about 11, 12 years. And I said all that to say this. God knew what he was doing. God knew eventually he would call me to this ministry. And so God was giving me a little bit of firsthand experience in big pharma so I could talk about it, so I could understand it. A lot of times people say, well, if you've never been there, you can't talk about it because you don't know. Well, I was there. I was there. And I can talk about it because I do know. And so today, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about something that we said was going to happen after the vaccines, that people would suddenly begin to develop all sorts of diseases and illnesses and cancers and strokes and heart attacks that may or may not be able to be directly connected to the vaccine, but otherwise healthy people suddenly coming down with these crazy, crazy, crazy things. I have a friend of mine. He's a man that I grew up with, and he was bragging about during the pandemic. He was bragging about taking the vaccine. He took the first one. He took the second one. He took the first booster shot, and then he took the second booster shot. And let me just pull up my messages here, and I'll tell you the name of the cancer that he has now. And, you know, maybe it's just a coincidence. Who knows? But let me see if I can find this message. He came up with some wacky, weird blood cancer. I can't find the message. And we put this man on our prayer list, and we're praying for him. But isn't it odd that he developed this cancer in the immediate aftermath of getting boosted and vaccinated? And then I started asking around. I started asking other friends of mine, do you know anybody that has had an adverse reaction to the vaccine? And person after person after person, Valerie contacted me and she said that she knows three people that have died. And I know lots of people that know somebody who is a loved one or a friend that died in the immediate aftermath of getting the vaccine. I have another friend of mine who got both shots and got boosted. And then they had a severe medical emergency, which put them in the ICU. And so as I look around, I see person after person after person who is suddenly coming down with some sort of a wacky, strange illness, and they were otherwise healthy people. And this is happening more and more. I saw an article the other day from the CDC talking about, well, you know, teenagers and blood clots. And I'm reading this article and I'm like, teenagers and blood clots? When was that ever a thing? I'm 61. I grew up, I went to school in the 70s and 80s. Maybe you guys in the chat room, maybe you knew about teenagers and blood clots when you were growing up. But I don't ever remember anybody other than some sort of a one in a million case or some very, very rare isolated thing. Somebody died of a blood clot when they were a teenager. But have you ever heard of everybody knows that teenagers get blood clots? I've never heard that. I've never heard that. So today, I want to bring you back in time about a year and a half. Today, I want to jog your memory and I want to remind you of what they said in the beginning. I want to let you hear for yourselves the claims that they made for these vaccines. Now, I don't believe the vaccines have helped anybody. I don't even believe that they are vaccines. In fact, and I've played this clip many times, and I'm going to play it again because I like it. In fact, the man who's the president of Bayer Pharmaceuticals, a man by the name of Stefan Ulrich, and you would think somebody who was the president of one of the world's largest pharmaceutical companies, you would think that this guy would know what he's talking about. Well, how about this? Stefan Ulrich says that the mRNA vaccines aren't even vaccines. They are cellular gene therapy. They are gene editing technology. Now, wait a second, Facebook. Wait a second, Twitter. Before you suspend me for violating your pathetic community standards, I want you to listen to Stefan Ulrich, president of Bayer Pharmaceuticals, telling you they're not vaccines.
Ultimately, the mRNA vaccines are an example for that cell and gene therapy. I always like to say, if we had surveyed 2 years ago in the public, would you be willing to take a gene or cell therapy and inject it into your body, we would have probably had a 95% refusal rate. I think this pandemic has also opened many people's eyes to innovation in the way that was maybe not possible before. Those that take the leap to drive innovation in a really meaningful way and invest and take the risk to invest in R&D will also attain sustainability by creating job security and creating prosperity for those that take the investment. I think this is really important for these latitudes here.
Yeah, cell and gene therapy. So, I'm not calling them a vaccine anymore. I believe Stefan Ulrich. After all, doesn't the president of Bayer Pharmaceuticals know what he's talking about? So, if you pay attention, look, we live in a world that we are bombarded with so much information so fast all the time in a never-ending, aggressive, relentless cycle of information. It is very hard to remember what somebody said last week, much less what somebody said 6 months ago, much less what somebody said back at the start of the pandemic in 2020. Daniel 12:4 says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." We live in a day and age where we are bombarded with knowledge and information and facts and figures. And I have a really good memory for most things. But I'll tell you, sometimes I'm going through the archives of NowTheEndBegins.com, and we're coming up on 10,000 articles that we've published over the last 13 years. And I'll forget. I'm like, wow, I forgot that I wrote that. I forgot that I talked about that. There's no way that you can remember everything. So today, I wanted to remind everybody about the claims that they made for these vaccines. And then I'm going to show you how the whole thing gradually began to fall apart. And the reason why the whole thing began to fall apart is because they were lying to you. Now, am I saying that they lied to you about the vaccine? Absolutely right. They lied to us every single step of the way. Nothing that they told us about these vaccines, and Stefan Ulrich says it's gene therapy, it's cell editing technology. Everything that you were told about these vaccines was and is a lie. And not only that, they have lied the entire time. Joe Biden has lied about the vaccines. Donald Trump has lied about the vaccines. The mainstream media has lied about the vaccines. And I'm going to play everybody's clips for you. There's no sacred cows here. If somebody we support tells a lie, we tell you that they told it. We're not covering up for anybody. And Donald Trump has told just as many lies about the vaccine as Joe Biden. And I'm going to prove it to you today. And if it makes you mad, then tough. Then maybe you need to get mad. But all we're trying to do is get after the truth. Jesus says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And indeed it does. Do you remember back in the very beginning, before we had a vaccine? It was the Democrats that were telling you the vaccine cannot be trusted. Do not take it. And they said they would not take it. Take a listen to Democrats Don't Trust the COVID Vaccine.
So the first question is, the vaccine safe? Frankly, I'm not going to trust the federal government's opinion.
Who's going to take the shot? Who's going to take the shot? You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay.
Would you get it? Well, I think that's going to be an issue for all of us. I will say that I would not trust Donald Trump. If Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
I don't trust the president, and I don't trust the FDA.
If and when the vaccine comes, and it's not likely to go through all the tests that needs to be and the trials that are needed to be done.
The American people don't trust the process. I don't trust the process.
You shouldn't be banned from one platform and not others if you are for providing misinformation out there.
So there you have it, Jen Psaki, Joe Biden, Governor Cuomo, various mainstream media people. They didn't like that vaccine at all. They even said, not only do I not trust the vaccine, I don't trust the government. You heard them say, I don't trust the FDA. Well, let's talk about the FDA for a moment. I'm going to put a graphic into the chat room that I want you guys to look at. And I verified this graphic. So this is, again, this is not fake news media or anything like that. I'm going to put a graphic into the chat room, which is going to show you something really, really amazing. And for those of you who are just listening, I'm going to read it to you. It's a picture of five different men: Mark McLennan, Scott Gottlieb, Stephen Hahn, James C. Smith, and Anthony Fauci. Every single one of these people, well, the first three worked for the FDA, the fourth one worked for Reuters, and the last one works for the National Institutes of Health. And I just want to very quickly go through this list and tell you some amazing little snippets of information. Mark McLellan is a former FDA commissioner in charge of regulating Johnson & Johnson. That's what he did for the federal government, for the FDA. What job does Mark McLellan hold today? He is a member of the board of directors of Johnson & Johnson, the very same company that the FDA hired him to oversee. But it gets better. Scott Gottlieb, he's a former FDA commissioner, and he was in charge of regulating Pfizer. What does Scott Gottlieb do in 2022? Why, he's a current member on the board of directors of Pfizer. Stephen Hahn, former FDA commissioner in charge of regulating Moderna. In 2022, Stephen Hahn is the current chief medical officer of Flagship Pioneering, the venture capital firm behind Moderna. Oh, I'm trying to say this without laughing, but if you could see my face right now. James C. Smith, he's the CEO of Reuters, in charge of informing people about the COVID-19 vaccines. That's his job for one of the oldest news agencies in the world, Reuters. He is also a current member of the board of directors of Pfizer. Last one, of course, is Anthony Fauci. He is the National Institutes of Health director. He is also the funder, according to Rand Paul, of gain-of-function bioweapon research on coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Are you starting to see a pattern here? Mark McLellan, FDA commissioner in charge of regulating Johnson & Johnson, now on the board of Johnson & Johnson. Scott Gottlieb, former FDA commissioner in charge of regulating Pfizer, now he's on the board of Pfizer. Stephen Hahn, former FDA commissioner in charge of regulating Moderna, now he's the CMO of the company that gives Moderna the funding that they need, or should I say that they used to need, before they started making billions of dollars in profit. James C. Smith, CEO of Reuters, a news agency. He is also a member of the Pfizer Board of Directors, and Anthony Fauci, well, Anthony Fauci, we really don't need to say anything more than that. His crimes are well known. Are you starting to see what I'm talking about? Are you starting to see how crazy this is? Do you see how deep the rabbit hole goes?
Good Morning America is brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Pfizer.
Making a difference, brought to you by Pfizer.
CNN Tonight, brought to you by Pfizer.
Early Start, brought to you by Pfizer.
Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front, brought to you by Pfizer.
This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
This Weather Report brought to you by Pfizer.
Today's countdown to the royal wedding is brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports Update brought to you by Pfizer.
Meet the Press data download brought to you by Pfizer.
This portion of CBS This Morning sponsored by Pfizer.
On how to find the hidden sugars in the American family diet, sponsored by Pfizer.
Yeah, well, this program's not sponsored by Pfizer. Are you starting to see what I'm talking about? Are you starting to see why you have not been told the truth about anything? Do you really think that these former FDA commissioners, when they get these jobs with Big Pharma, the very same companies that they used to be in charge of overseeing and regulating? Why? Ask yourself this question. And if you're like me, if you're from Jersey, you're naturally cynical and suspicious of the motives of most people. When I think about why would Pfizer want to hire somebody who used to be their regulator? Why would Johnson & Johnson want to hire somebody that used to be their federal overseer? Why would Moderna want to be involved with somebody who used to be in charge of regulating them for the federal government? Maybe they just want to say thank you. Maybe they just want to reward them. I don't know. I'm just taking a guess here. I certainly don't want to be casting any accusations that are unfounded or not true. But man, oh man, all these people that used to work for the federal government regulating pharmaceutical companies now sitting on the board of directors. It's an amazing coincidence. I don't know what you'd call it. So I just wanted to remind you today of what they used to say and how the Democrats, they told you back in 2020 the vaccine was bad, it was scary, don't take it. They were not going to take it. Democrats told you they didn't trust the government, they didn't trust the president, they didn't trust the FDA. I already played the clip, that's not me putting words in their mouth. How about this clip from 2021? The person who's in charge of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky. Remember when she said this?
Our data from the CDC today suggests, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick, and that it's not just in the clinical trials, but it's also in real world data.
That was Rochelle Walensky. She is the director of the CDC and has been the entire time of the pandemic. And you just heard her tell you that if you get vaccinated, you won't get sick, you won't carry the virus, you won't transmit it to other people. That's the head of the CDC. And all you have to do is just take the jab, take the injection, take the vaccine, and you won't transmit that virus to anybody. Well, that's what Anthony Fauci used to say. In fact, Anthony Fauci said that if you were an anti-vaxxer, you were fomenting a sea of lies, he said. Take a listen to Anthony Fauci in his sea of lies.
A virus cannot mutate unless it is replicating. And if you allow the virus to freely replicate chronically in society, it will mutate. I believe if a combination of better angels of the people prevailing, despite the sea of lies that we're living in, that people say, okay. You know.
I just had to stop him right there. Fauci is talking about a sea of lies that people are living in. Really, Anthony? A sea of lies? Let's hear that again.
A virus cannot mutate unless it is replicating. And if you allow the virus to freely replicate chronically in society, it will mutate. I believe if a combination of better angels of the people prevailing, despite the sea of lies that we're living in, that people say, okay, you know, I'm not going to take any of this. I'm seeing everybody around me get sick and dying. Let me just go ahead and get vaccinated. If we can get the overwhelming proportion of the people vaccinated as a nation, Beth, we will do very, very well. Just the same way as we're all protected from measles because the level of protection in measles.
Oh, just stop. I can't even hear the sound of his voice, except for this clip. Remember Anthony Fauci just told you about the sea of lies that we're all living in? The sea of lies that are created by the anti-vaxxers, right? Well, is this the same guy who just told you about a sea of lies?
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet. But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers needing them and people who are ill. Right now in the...
So there's Anthony Fauci telling you, oh, you don't need to take a mask. Hey, man. No need to take a mask. Wasn't that the same guy who then told you 6 months later you had to wear triple masks and double masks? Isn't that the same guy that the pro-transgender children company Walt Disney made a movie about?
When I think
it is.
My dad growing up, I certainly think about that seriousness. But very few people get to see. He's funny, weird, and really playful.
God help us. In 1981, HIV/AIDS was evolving rapidly and frighteningly. There was anger at the government's response.
When you got sick, you were gone fast.
It's affecting you now.
Yeah.
Why?
Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
When COVID hit, he became this target.
My dad said, we're going to get through this whole thing. And he's held that.
You don't do it because you want to make money. You don't do it for the glory. You do it because you care.
When you're involved in a race to stop a horrible disease, you always feel you're not doing things quickly enough.
Oh, you did it fast enough. No need to worry about that. Tony. You did it fast enough, that's for sure. Now, those of you who have been listening to this program for any length of time, you know that my problem with Anthony Fauci does not originate in 2020 or 2021 or 2022. Because back in the late 1980s, when Anthony Fauci first came to power, he formed an alliance with a drug company called the Burroughs Wellcome Company from the UK. And they created this nasty, nasty poison known as AZT. And they developed this poison, they said, because they were trying to cure HIV/AIDS. Now, one of those people that was the recipient of his poison was my older brother, Bob. And I remember the day that he took his very first dose of AZT. I was with him. I was there. I watched him open the pill bottle and put that AZT pill in his mouth. And 2 weeks later, he was in the hospital with pneumonia, fighting for his life. A year later, he would be dead. You know what he died of? You'd say, well, he had AIDS. He died of AIDS. No, he didn't die of AIDS. He died of a heart attack induced by liver failure. He died of a heart attack induced by liver failure. And again, I'm not giving you some internet story. I'm telling you what happened to my brother. And he took this poison that was heavily, heavily, heavily promoted by Anthony Fauci. And this poison killed over 250,000 people with HIV/AIDS. It murdered them. So when you hear me talk about Anthony Fauci in relation to COVID, my problem with Anthony Fauci goes back 4 decades. As far as I'm concerned, he murdered my brother. And he is murdering people in 2022 with the promotion of these non-vaccine vaccines. Now, if you've taken the vaccine, I'll pray for you. I'm your friend. I'm not against you. I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm not going to belittle you in any way. I would advise you to, I don't know, start working out. Make sure you're taking really good care of your health. Make sure that you get regular checkups. And be very, very aware that people have been getting, people who have been vaccinated, have been getting extreme adverse reactions. According to the CDC VAERS website, as of April 29th, 1,255,353 reports of death or adverse reactions have been reported to the CDC website. 27,758 people have died from the vaccine. 154,341 people have been hospitalized. 128,537 people have needed urgent care. 190,952 people were forced to go to the doctor after that they got the vaccine. 9,656 people have gotten anaphylactic shock. 15,403 people have gotten Bell's palsy. There have been 4,593 reports of miscarriages, 14,223 heart attacks, 39,992 cases of myocarditis and pericarditis. 51,600 people have been permanently disabled. 6,556 people have had thrombocytopenia. That's a lot of adverse reactions. That's a lot of dead people. And where is that being reported? On the CDC VAERS website. That's official government data. But they don't accept that data because it's reported by the people that experienced it or that it happened to their loved ones. The CDC says, oh, you can't trust that data. Really? If you can't trust the data, then why did you create the website and encourage people to report adverse reactions? If you can't trust the data, then take down the website. Don't leave it up and say it's not true. You're the one that made the website. Liars, fakers, criminals. I think I'm talking too much today. I have all these clips that I want to play for you. But I want to do more than just play the clips. I want you to do some thinking. I want you to use your brain. They're not vaccines. It is gene editing technology, according to Stefan Ulrich of Bayer Pharmaceuticals. How about this? Anthony Fauci said, if you're vaccinated, you're safe. If you're not, you're at risk.
New York City had its biggest concert in over a year at Madison Square Garden over the weekend, where the band Foo Fighters performed for an all-vaccinated crowd, even included a guest appearance from Dave Chappelle. It was the venue's first full-capacity concert since March of 2020. So in some states, things are going well. But things are also headed the wrong way in states with low vaccination rates, where the highly contagious Delta variant is getting a foothold. At the beginning of May, President Biden announced an aggressive goal of vaccinating 70% of adults by July 4th. Today, the Biden administration announced the country will narrowly miss that goal. The question now is how to keep pushing against what looks worryingly like a kind of vaccine ceiling in many parts of the country. Dr. Anthony Fauci is the chief medical advisor for President Biden, director of National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at the National Institute of Health. Earlier today, he warned the new Delta variant is the greatest threat to eliminating COVID-19 in the United States, and he joins me now. Let's start with that right now. You know, a few months ago, I started taking up a kind of fairly bullish banner on COVID because the vaccines look so efficacious, and particularly as deployment got better, it really felt like, okay. The first time that I've started to feel bearish again is in the last few weeks, and it's because of these numbers. This is 14-day COVID change in cases in the states with the highest change. Missouri, 55%, 53%, Arkansas, 46%, Utah, 24%, Arizona, 8%. How worried are you about that?
I'm quite concerned at states and people who don't get vaccinated, Chris. The situation is so clear, the data affirm. If you get vaccinated, you are protected, even with the Delta variant, which, by the way, has a greater capacity to spread from person to person. And when you're infected, it has a greater likelihood of giving you serious disease. We know that as a fact.
I think I'll stop him right there. Did you hear what he said back in the early days of 2021? If you are vaccinated, you are protected. Is that true? If that is true, why are 50% of all the COVID deaths with vaccinated people? They tried to hide those numbers for a long, long time. But you can only put so many dead bodies into the same closet until the door starts busting itself open and those bodies come spilling out into the hallway.
From our own country, but particularly from the experience in the UK, the vaccines we have do protect well against the Delta variant. So if ever there was a reason to get vaccinated, it's right now, because we're seeing this Delta variant double every 2 weeks. We're up to 20.6%.
So this is Anthony Fauci telling you that all you have to do is get that vaccine and you're going to be safe. That's what pretend President Joe Biden said on July 21st of 2021. He said it at a CNN town hall Nobody fact-checked him. Nobody corrected him. Don Lemon didn't open his mouth. Take a listen to what Joe Biden said about the vaccine on July 21st, 2021.
But I have a couple questions I want to ask you, because sure. You know the pandemic is a big concern for everyone, really, sure around is. The world, but especially around America. New cases are up three times since last month, right? The pandemic is a big concern. Hospitalizations, death, rising. So you said last month that the virus is in retreat. Do you still feel that way? Is that still the case?
Well, it's real simple. We have a pandemic for those who haven't gotten a vaccination. It's that basic, that simple. 10,000 people have recently died. 9,950 of them, or thereabouts, are people who hadn't been vaccinated. This is a simple, basic proposition. If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized. You're not going to be in an ICU unit. And
really?
You're not going to die. So it's gigantically important that we all act like Americans are.
Oh, so if I have this correctly, the President of the United States said that if you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized. You're not going to die from COVID. Now, that obviously, that's not a wrong teaching. That's a false teaching. That is a lie of an unbelievable magnitude. I'm trying to pull words out of the air, but my mind I just get so mad when I think about these people. Joe Biden just told you that if you get vaccinated, you won't catch COVID. And if you do catch it, you won't get sick. And if you do get sick, you won't be hospitalized. And if you are hospitalized, you won't die. That's a tremendous claim for the vaccine. And that's the same claim that the director of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, said. That's the same claim that Anthony Fauci made in the early days of 2021, repeatedly. And you got to put your big boy pants on for this one. That's the same false claim that Donald Trump made just a couple of months ago when he was interviewed by Candace Owen. Take a listen to Donald Trump repeating Democratic talking points.
But I think the frustration on the Republican side, and this is why I said I want to talk a lot about Republican frustrations, is that we see the corruption, right? Yeah. It doesn't seem like anybody ever pays for the corruption.
Yeah.
And right now we're seeing corruption live, even in terms of Big Pharma, which is a huge topic on the minds of mothers, especially. You're seeing what's happening at these school board meetings. Where do you stand on these vaccine mandates? And obviously, I know that you are pro-vaccine. Obviously, you did everything you could to get this vaccine out. I know where you stand on the vaccine.
It was one of the greatest achievements. We did it in less than 9 months.
And to be able to do that. Yeah, but now it's taken a twist, right? It's gotten, now we went from this is a good thing and people should have this option to military men, you're going to have to resign because you're not getting this vaccine. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I stand on, forget about the mandates, that people have to have their freedom. But at the same time, the vaccine is one of the greatest achievements of mankind. We would have had a 1917, remember the Spanish flu, killed perhaps 100 million people. Actually, it ended the First World War because the soldiers were so. A lot of people don't know that. The soldiers got so sick. It was a terrible thing. There were no vaccines. There were no anything. I came up with a vaccine, with three vaccines. Mm-hmm. All are very, very good. Came up with three of them in less than 9 months. It was supposed to take 5 to 12 years.
And yet, people have died under COVID this year, by the way, under Joe Biden.
That's right.
Than under you, and more people took the vaccine this year. So people are questioning how.
Well, no, the vaccine worked, but some people aren't taking it. The ones that get very sick and go to the hospital are the ones that don't take the vaccine. But it's still their choice. And if you take the vaccine, you're protected. Look, the results of the vaccine are very good. And if you do get it, it's a very minor form. People aren't dying when they take the vaccine.
What about the masking of children?
So. There you have Donald Trump repeating the same lies that we call out Joe Biden, Anthony Fauci, Rochelle Lewinsky. Donald Trump repeating the exact same lies about the vaccine that the Democrats do. Now, some of you may forget, back in 2020, Donald Trump threatened to have Americans vaccinated with the military. Remember that?
One issue that has come up is, once you do have a vaccine, how do you properly distribute it? How do you get it out quickly to
millions? Well, when we have the vaccine, we have the military all lined up, and the military is going to be doing it in a very powerful manner. These are people that don't usually do vaccines. They do soldiers, and they do lots of other things that, frankly, are more difficult. But we have our general, and logistically, he's all set. Tony, do you want to say something about that?
We have the military all lined up to distribute the vaccine. That's not a Democratic president saying that. That was the original plan of Donald Trump. Now, why didn't it happen? Because he didn't get reelected. But he said that shortly before his term came to an end. We will use the military to distribute the vaccine. Shannon says, and that might still happen. Yes, it might. Now, if you think that we're all done with the vaccine, if you think that, you know, we've gone back to our old life and, you know, the mask rig, we don't have to wear masks anymore. If you think that's all over with, you are very, very deluded. There's this word that I like. It's called a caesura. C-E-S-U-R-A. And the definition of that word caesura is a timely pause. It's a little bit of a break in the action. And that's exactly what we're experiencing right now. Just a little bit of a pause for everybody to catch their breath. But these things have not stopped. And if you think that, you are, well, you are highly deluded and very, very much mistaken. Remember back in the early days of the pandemic, Democrats said that vaccines cannot be mandated.
We cannot require someone to be vaccinated. That's just not what we can do.
Needless to say, the right of women to make decisions about their own bodies is not negotiable.
No, definitely not. You don't want to mandate and try and force anyone to take a vaccine. We've never done that.
Our interest is very simple, from the federal government, which is Americans' privacy and rights should be protected.
It is a matter of privacy to know who is or who isn't.
We don't want to be mandating from the federal government to the general population. It would be unenforceable and not appropriate.
Perhaps the federal government should step in and issue mandates, and if not, are you putting the needs of unvaccinated people ahead of the needs of vaccinated people?
Well, I think the question here, one, that's not the role of the federal government.
No, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand it be mandatory.
First, we must increase vaccinations among the unvaccinated with new vaccination requirements.
They started out telling you vaccine mandates, that's not legal, that's not constitutional, that's not how we do it here in America.
Let me put it very clearly. You have no constitutional right to endanger the public and spread a disease, even if you disagree. You have no right not to be vaccinated. You have no right not to wear a mask. You have no right to open up your business.
Wait, can I stop you? No right not to be vaccinated? Meaning if they decide you have to be vaccinated, we have to be vaccinated?
Absolutely. And if you refuse to be vaccinated, the state has the power to literally take you to a doctor's office and plunge a needle into your arm. If the vaccination
where is that in the Constitution?
To prevent, if the vaccination
where is that is in the Constitution?
The spreading
disease. I love it.
The vaccination
I love it.
Is only to prevent a disease that you will get. For example, if there's a disease that will kill you, you have the right to refuse that, but you have no right to refuse to be vaccinated against a contagious disease. Public health, the police power of the Constitution gives the state the power to compel that. And there are cases in the United States Supreme Court.
I love that guy saying, where is that in the Constitution? Well, answer, it's not in the Constitution. And so I think what you're starting to see by these clips that I'm playing is that back in the early days, what they used to sell you this non-vaccine vaccine, this gene editing technology, this cell editing equipment, they made all these outrageous promises, Democrat and Republican alike. All you have to do is just take the vaccine and you won't catch COVID. You won't. I have already played for you the clips of people like the director of the CDC promising you that if you'll just agree to receive the government injection, that will render you incapable of transmitting the COVID virus. That was a lie. That is 100% not true. Vaccinated people transmit the virus just as quickly and easily as non-vaccinated people do. Nearly 50% of all COVID deaths are the deaths of the vaccinated, not the unvax. It's about 50-50. Now, I want to play this clip for you, also from 2020. This is from June of 2020. And I want to remind you, some of you have heard this clip. Some of you may be listening. We have a lot of new first-time listeners. We have a lot of new listeners. If you remember back in 2020, Anthony Fauci had a partner, and these two people were inseparable. Now, we haven't heard anything from Dr. Deborah Birx in about a year. I don't know whether she's retired. I have no idea what Dr. Deborah Birx is doing in May of 2022. No clue of any kind. But I do know that back in the early days of the pandemic, she had no problem getting on national television and telling people that they were making a change to the way that they count COVID deaths. I want you to listen to what Dr. Deborah Birx said about what constitutes a COVID death.
Misreported by coronavirus because of either testing or standards for how they're characterized.
So I think in this country, we've taken a very liberal approach to mortality. And I think the reporting here has been pretty straightforward over the last 5 to 6 weeks. Prior to that, when there wasn't testing in January and February, that's a very different situation and unknown. There are other countries that if you had a pre-existing condition, and let's say the virus caused you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problem, some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue and not a COVID-19 death. Right now, we're still recording it, and the great thing about having forms that come in and a form that has the ability to mark it as COVID-19 infection, the intent is right now that those, if someone dies with COVID-19, mm-hmm. we are counting that as a COVID-19 death.
So there you have Dr. Deborah Birx, the former right-hand person to Anthony Fauci, who, if you remember back in the early days of 2020, Fauci and Birx were inseparable. You saw them together, speaking together constantly. Dr. Deborah Birx just told you that if somebody who had COVID died of a heart attack, that was going to be counted as a COVID death. Dr. Birx just told you that if somebody who was sick with COVID died in a motorcycle crash, that death was counted as a COVID death. And she said, and I believe her, she said it, so I believe it. She said that America was copying how they do it over in Europe. And she said that we were adopting a more liberal approach to counting COVID deaths the way they do it in European countries. So that means that when you look at the total number of people that are reputed to have died from COVID, you and I will never, ever know how many of those people died from COVID and how many of those people died with COVID. Because Dr. Deborah Birx just told you that they were no longer making a distinction between dying with COVID and dying from COVID. Are you starting to see how deep the lies and the phony stories and the disinformation and the misinformation that has been given to us by our government? And we have lots of listeners in foreign countries. We have lots of listeners from France and Canada and Germany, Australia, New Zealand, Austria, Egypt. Do any of you guys feel that your government told you the truth? I don't think you do. If you live in France, we have a lot of listeners in France. Do you feel that Emmanuel Macron told you the truth? I'm sorry, that's a rhetorical question. Now, I want you to listen to this, and then we're going to talk about a story that we just published 2 days ago. This is Bill Gates saying that these vaccines have got to be rushed through. He said, we don't have any time to look at side effects. We don't care what's going to happen 2 years down the road. We got to rush this thing through, he said.
I understand it then from what you're saying is that it may be that there needs to be some compromise in some of the safety measures that would normally be expected to create a vaccine because time is so crucial.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, of course, if you want to wait and see if a side effect shows up 2 years later, that takes 2 years. So
if you want to wait and see if a side effect shows up 2 years later, hey, Bill, that's called the review process. You're supposed to wait 24 months to see if a side effect shows up, a side effect like cerebral hemorrhage, heart attack, stroke, death, cancer. This is why there's a 2-year waiting period. But Bill Gates is flabbergasted that anybody would want to wait 2 years. I'm going to start this clip again.
I understand it then from what you're saying is that it may be that there needs to be some compromise in some of the safety measures would normally be expected to create a vaccine because time is so crucial.
Well, of course, if you want to wait and see if a side effect shows up 2 years later, that takes 2 years. So whenever you're acting quickly, like during the HIV crisis, they created a quick way of getting drug approval. There is a trade-off.
Oh, stop right there. Bill Gates just told you that, hey, back in the 1980s with the HIV crisis, we rushed that drug through as well. He's not going to tell you the name of the drug, but he's going to tell you that, yeah, we rushed that drug through back in the 80s, the same drug that killed my brother.
There. In that case, it worked super, super well.
No,
and
it didn't.
Here, you know, we will, I think, be able to get some safety indications. But this is a public good. And so You know, those trade-offs, the government's working on a cooperative basis, will be involved in the decision to say, hey, the regulator says go ahead.
Did he really just say that? Did he really just say that this is for the public good, rushing it through without the proper 24-month waiting period? Do you know why there has been historically a 24-month waiting period? Because there's lots of side effects that don't show up right away. There are some side effects that only show up 6 months, 12 months, 20 months later. And so what they have found over the years is that by having a 24-month waiting period, you get to see what the real side effects are going to be. A lot of the side effects don't show up in the first 6 months. Now, just, you know, fun fact here, the mRNA drugs were pushed through in 5 months, so it didn't even wait 6 months. Now, why was Bill Gates all excited about rushing these drugs through?
This has been pretty personal for you. You have, you know, the anti-vaxxers are out there, they are loud, and this has become personal. I just wanted to ask, like, how are you managing that?
Well, it's kind of weird. Now, our foundation, the Gates Foundation, is very involved in vaccines, the invention of new vaccines, funding vaccines, and we're very proud that through joint efforts like Gavi, that saved tens of millions of lives. So it's somewhat ironic to have somebody turn around and say, no, you know, we're using vaccines to kill people or to make money.
$1 billion in vaccinations over the last 2 decades, and you figured out the return on investment for that. And it kind of stunned me. Can you walk us through the math?
Over a 20-to-1 return. So if you just looked at the economic benefits, that's a pretty strong number compared to anything else.
I think the numbers that you ran through were if you had put that money into an S&P 500 and reinvested the dividends, you'd come up with something like $17 billion, but you think it's $200 billion.
Here, you know, we started the pandemic, even some strange things like that I somehow want to track, you know, the location of individuals because I'm so deeply desirous to know where everybody is. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with that information. And
eventually what we'll have to have is certificates of who's a recovered person, who's a vaccinated person, because you don't want people moving around the world. So eventually there will be sort of this digital immunity proof that
you know,
will help facilitate the global reopening up.
You know, does this turn into something where, you know, there's constantly crazy people showing up? Who knows? But you know, hopefully as the pandemic calms down, people are more rational about, hey, vaccines are a miracle, and there's a lot more we can do.
So there you have Bill Gates. And there, the first couple of clips was him laughing at the conspiracy theories about him. And those clips were interspersed with clips of him saying, at a different time, things that prove the conspiracy theories to be true. You just heard Bill Gates say, it's a conspiracy theory that I want to track everybody on the face of the earth. And then you heard him say, everybody needs to have digital identification. There's only one reason why anybody has digital identification, that is so that they can be tracked. That is the only reason why anybody would have digital identification. So you can be monitored and you can be tracked. Because that's what the digital aspect of your identification does. If you have a driver's license that is not digital, that is simply a piece of paper that was issued by your town that says you passed a test and they deem you to be qualified to operate a motor vehicle. And with all the bad drivers that we have out there and the amount of accidents that we have every year, it's a good thing to want to give people a driving test and to make them prove that they have qualified to operate a motor vehicle. Nothing wrong with having a driver's license. If you have to have surgery, wouldn't you rather be operated on by a doctor who has a medical license than one who did not? But when you have a digital license or a digital piece of identification, the digital part of it is because you need to be tracked. Now, longtime readers of Now the End Begins will remember back in the early days of the pandemic, we told you about Microsoft, and they had a patent. The Microsoft patent. Let me pull that up. Haven't thought about that article in quite a while. Somebody in the chat room just referenced it. And here's an article that we did back on April 17th of 2020. Back in the early days, that was Kimmy D who reminded me of this article. Thank you, Kimmy. And we did this article back in the early days of the pandemic. And you're going to love this headline. Some of you have read it. Some of you are hearing about this for the first time. And you might be wondering, could this be true? Yeah, it's true. It's absolutely true. Microsoft not only funds ID 2020, but they also filed a patent for a device connected to the human body for buying and selling cryptocurrency. And would you believe, and this is true, and you can Google it and you can verify it, Microsoft was assigned a patent number for their invention of an implantable device to monitor the buying and selling of cryptocurrency. And here is the full patent name. And I'm going to put a link into the chat room for the patent. The full name of the patent, and this is from a company called patentscope.wipo.int. It was patent number W02020060606. Basically, the patent number for the human implantable device by Microsoft so that it would let you buy and sell cryptocurrency from inside your body is 2020666 when you take a couple of the zeros out. Now, that's old news. We told you about that 2 years ago. Nat just says they're mocking Christians. Absolutely, they're mocking Christians. They mock Christians every chance that they get. We have a lot of people in the chat room. I hope you guys can stay for a little bit longer because I got more that I got to talk about. I haven't even played half of the clips that I have. I kind of over-prepared for this podcast today. But the reason why I over-prepared for the podcast is I wanted to present to you an overwhelming flood of proof about everything that I'm talking about. So if it's okay with you guys, we're going to go a little bit longer today. Remember these people, the 75 people, 75 world-class athletes who collapsed after getting vaccinated? Let's remind ourselves of these people.
High school senior is in the hospital after collapsing on the tennis courts.
Breaking new details on the deaths of a high school soccer player.
Finland, Denmark star man Christian Eriksen collapsing towards the end of the first half.
The Kennedy High community mourning tonight after one of their high school football players died.
A South Carolina high school football player has died after collapsing at football practice.
Star college basketball player collapsing on the court. We want to warn you, the video may be difficult to watch.
Florida Gators star Keontae Johnson collapsing during the game.
A West Catholic high school student has died after collapsing during a football scrimmage.
On mile 8,
she suddenly felt fuzzy and blacked out.
17-year-old Ryan Jacobs' heart stopped.
Unexpectedly collapsed on the field.
Megan went into cardiac arrest.
Collapsing during Friday night's football game.
The reason for his collapse is unknown.
The reason why Manny collapsed in the first place still isn't known.
So you might be wondering how someone in such great shape could suffer cardiac arrest.
It's a rare thing that happens.
Horner says the condition is rare.
Did she have any signs before this race?
Absolutely not. She felt like she was in the best shape of her life.
That's incredible.
Goodness, he's going down there. Erickson, that's worrying.
He collapsed.
This is really disturbing.
Something happened to one of the referees.
This does look serious.
Oh dear.
Well, obviously incredibly powerful and sad. Tragic. I just want to let people know that obviously there's no proof that the over 75 stories we found when looking into this that are now being reported around the world of athletes, you know, collapsing onto the turf of their different sports. We have no proof that that happened because of the vaccine, but this is happening at a time where all of these sports are mandating this vaccine on everybody in order to play. And I can only ask the very simple question, do you ever remember hearing a story of an athlete having a heart attack on the field? I've been thinking about, I can't think of one. I certainly have not heard of 75 in the same year and counting.
Now, we did that story, that clip, that mashup clip is from a year and a half ago. And a year and a half ago, it was 75 athletes. That number in 2022 now extends well into multiple hundreds of athletes around the world. Now, did they have one thing in common? They sure did. They were all vaccinated. Back on October 16th of 2021, we ran this story. Fully vaccinated college student Sean Kuhn, who was super fit, dies of COVID-19 after receiving two doses of the Pfizer vaccine last summer. And this is what I wrote about this young kid named Sean Kuhn. And I wrote this. I want you to pay close attention to what I'm about to tell you. It may just save your life. 21-year-old college student Sean Kuhn was an amazing young man, a born-again Christian. He knew the Lord. He was a hard worker. He was a beloved son and friend to all who knew him. In 2020, Sean contracted COVID-19. In 2020, my son Calvin contracted COVID-19. And Sean breezed through it with no problems at all. But this year, after catching COVID for the second time, it hit him so hard that it killed him. So what was the difference between the first time that Sean Kuhn got COVID and the second time that he got COVID? Could it be the Delta variant? No. The difference was not Delta. The difference was Pfizer. The first time that Sean Kuhn got COVID, he was not vaccinated and he had no problem at all. And he was almost exactly the same age as my son Calvin when Calvin got COVID back in 2020. Calvin had no other symptoms other than loss of smell and loss of taste. He had no fever, had no complications, was not hard to breathe. My son Calvin breezed through COVID, no problem. Sean Kuhn in 2020 breezed through COVID, no problem. But then people put pressure on him. And even though that Sean had been exposed to COVID, had a high level of antibodies against COVID, he was still made to think that he could not be safe unless he got vaccinated. So he went out and got a couple of doses of the Pfizer vaccine. And then he caught COVID for a second time. And then he died. Fully vaccinated, Sean Coon died after catching COVID a second time. Now, all these clips that I played for you today so far, all of these people telling you that if you get vaccinated, you won't get sick. And if you do get sick, you won't go to the hospital. And if you do go to the hospital, you won't die. Was that true for Sean Coon? No, it was not. And it was not true for hundreds of thousands of other people. And I want you to understand today that you have been lied to from the very beginning. Doesn't matter what country that you're listening to this in. They are conspiring together. This is not an American conspiracy. It's not a European conspiracy. It is a global conspiracy. And it's a conspiracy of on a magnitude that you and I can barely wrap our heads around. And this has been going on for the last 787 days across America and around the world. And everything that they've been telling you is a lie. And I have case after case after case of people just like Sean Coon, just like these 75 athletes. Tons of people who died after getting vaccinated. How about this one, this doctor from Florida? Let me see if I can pull this story up. He was a doctor, Michael something or other, and he lived in Florida. Where is that article? And he was a very outspoken advocate of the vaccine. So he got the vaccine. And then he died of a hemorrhagic stroke. Just dropped dead of a hemorrhagic stroke. And if you go to nowtheendbegins.com, we have article after article after article of, here it is, Florida doctor Gregory Michael dies after receiving Pfizer COVID vaccine that produced sores and caused him to die of a hemorrhagic stroke. And we told you about this January 7th of 2021. Dr. Gregory Michael, hemorrhagic stroke after getting the vaccine. But they can't tell you that all these vaccinated people are dying. And every once in a while, they are forced to admit that, yes, somebody died after getting vaccinated. They are forced to admit that. But they'll never tell you the true death toll. You'll never know the true death toll because Dr. Deborah Birx told you we are counting anybody who dies with COVID as dying from COVID. So if you think that you're ever going to know how many people died of COVID, that is an unknowable number. And they like it that way. It is intentional. Let's see what else we got here. Remember Bill Gates on his 2010 TED Talk?
I'm going to talk today about energy, and climate. And that might seem a bit surprising because my full-time work at the foundation is mostly about vaccines and seeds. We need to meet a new constraint, and that constraint has to do with CO2. CO2 is warming the planet. And the equation on CO2 is actually a very straightforward one. If you sum up the CO2 that gets emitted, that leads to a temperature increase. So you've got a thing on the left, CO2, that you want to get to zero, and that's going to be based on the number of people, the services, the energy on average for each service, and the CO2 being put out per unit of energy. So let's look at each one of these and see how we can get this down to zero. Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero.
So this is from a 2010 TED Talk with Bill Gates, and he's telling you his plan to bring down the world population and to solve the climate crisis.
First, we've got population. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
So there you have Bill Gates saying that with having a robust vaccine program, you're going to lower the global population. I didn't make that up. That clip is not edited. Now, in my mind, if you have vaccines that are extending people's lives, you're going to increase the population. You're not going to lower the population. You're going to increase the population. So this has been the plan from the very beginning. Where's this clip from Rachel Maddow begging people to get vaccinated? Oh, where's that clip? But these people have been doing this from the very, very, very beginning. Oh, here it is. Take a listen to this. Rachel Maddow in 2021 begging you to take the government injection.
I will just say, before we do that, just as a personal plea from me, if you have been putting off being vaccinated for whatever reason, don't agonize about it. Don't let anybody make you feel bad about that and, you know, get you defensive about it. Just make a fresh decision now. Take a fresh look at the issue now, looking at what's going on now. Fresh no matter look. Why you have put it off in the past, no judgment.
No judge.
Now is the time to actually go do it.
Great time.
Because we really cannot afford you having to go to the hospital right now. If you're unvaccinated, you have a much higher chance of getting this newly transmissible variant we had never seen before a couple of weeks ago. And it's the unvaccinated people who it's going to make sick. And we really just cannot afford for you to have to go to the hospital right now. I mean, looking all around the country, depending on where you live, there is a very good chance there's no room for you in the hospital right now if you need to go. And if you can somehow get a bed because you got COVID and you got sick from it because you weren't vaccinated, if you are able to get yourself into a bed, you're going to be filling a bed that somebody else really needs. So even if you didn't feel like you could do it before, even if you've been holding off for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah.
Look at it freshly now. Now would be the time.
Uh-huh.
Even if it wasn't okay for you before, it's okay for you to do it now.
All right. So that was Rachel Maddow in 2021, and she's begging you to take the vaccine. I have another friend of mine, and again, this is not something I read about on the internet. This is a friend of mine. And this friend of mine agrees with me about the vaccine. And I told them repeatedly, because we talked about it, I said that I had not taken the vaccine. I said that I would not take the vaccine. And my friend said that they agreed with me and that they were not going to take the vaccine either. And so time went by, and we kind of stopped talking about it, and then my friend began to get sick and develop symptoms. they started feeling very out of sorts and very funny. And then after a couple of months of feeling out of sorts and feeling funny, my friend had a stroke and wound up in the hospital. And as I was trying to process how this could happen, another friend called me, and we were talking about the first friend who had suffered the medical emergency. And my other friend told me, oh yeah, they took the vaccine and then they took the booster shot. And I began to think about when their symptoms started. And I realized that their symptoms of ill health started shortly after they had taken the vaccine, but they didn't tell me that they took the vaccine. And that friend of mine almost died. So when I tell you that these vaccines are dangerous and that they're scary, I am basing it on what I'm watching happening to people that I know who are suddenly developing these health crises. In some cases, it's a heart attack. In some cases, it's a stroke. In some cases, it's cancer. In some cases, it's an emergency trip to the hospital. Nat is asking me, what were the symptoms? Breathlessness, weakness, fatigue, mental fog, dizziness, leading eventually to having a stroke. So, as I began to look around my life and I began to realize that I knew a lot of people that were suddenly getting sick, men and women, I knew a lot of people that were suddenly getting sick, and I began to do a little bit of investigative research, and every single one of those people were vaccinated. Now, I know a lot of vaccinated people who are not sick, or maybe they're just not sick yet. Remember that these vaccines started in December of 2020. It's been barely a year and a half that we've had these vaccines. And I believe that you're going to start seeing more and more and more people who were vaccinated suddenly coming down with these unexplainable heart attacks, stroke, cancers. And it's happening more and more. You know, this weekend, do something interesting. Why don't you start asking your friends, maybe people that you work with, why don't you just start asking around in your own circle of friends and see if anybody knows of a friend of theirs that's suddenly gotten sick, like out of the blue, unexpectedly. Suddenly come down with some wacky cancer, or they had myocarditis or pericarditis. And I think that if you started intentionally asking people, I think you're going to find some very interesting answers. Because that's exactly what I found when I started asking. Now, Bill Gates, last week, he has a YouTube channel called Gates Notes. And here's his Gates Notes from last week, talking about what a perfect vaccine would look like.
The world's responded to the COVID pandemic faster than to any disease in history. New, safe, and effective vaccines got created in less than 300 days after the start of the pandemic, and over half the world's population has already received two doses of these vaccines. But in several respects, these vaccines are not perfect. What would a better vaccine look like? Even though these vaccines do an incredible job of preventing severe disease and death, they do not protect you from getting infected. They reduce the chance of getting infected by about 50%.
Stopping him right there, Bill Gates says in 2020, he made this video last week, the vaccines do not stop you from getting infected. If you remember, in the first hour, I played that clip from Rochelle Walensky, director of the CDC, and Anthony Fauci, who both told you that if you get vaccinated, you won't get infected. My, how the story has changed.
We want to change it so that anybody who's gotten that vaccine cannot be infected again, taking them completely out of any transmission chain. We should be able to have a vaccine that attacks a core part of the virus that's found in all the variants. We would also like to have vaccines that you can just take once and you don't have to go back and keep getting boosters again and again.
Great
idea.
They
should be made so that they can be transported at normal temperatures without refrigeration. All these COVID vaccines require the use of a syringe, and we'd like to get rid of that. We could just have something like a patch or something you inhale.
We'll stop him right there. Bill Gates has said the entire time that these vaccines that we've been rushing through that are causing all these adverse reactions. He says that what we need now is a patch. Like Patch the Pirate? Like an eye patch? No, not like Patch the Pirate and not like an eye patch. What Bill Gates means when he talks about having a vaccine patch, it's called a quantum dot microneedle vaccine, made up of 18 tiny little needles that gets injected subcutaneously, and it stays active in your body up to 5 years. Now, here's a fun fact for you, and we reported this to you on April 29th of 2020. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has donated more than $21 million towards developing a vaccine technology that uses a tattoo-like mechanism which injects invisible quantum dot nanoparticles under the skin and is now being tested in a vaccine against the virus that causes COVID-19. So, when you hear Bill Gates talking about a vaccine with a patch, he has spent tens of millions of dollars on a quantum dot, human implantable, microneedle vaccination delivery system. And when this thing is injected into your body, there is an app on a mobile device that is able to read the information that is planted there, and it glows this purplish red color. A lot of the times it takes the shape of an X. And a listener one time, he heard me say this back in 2020, and he took a long strip of white paper, like from a cash register roll, and he wrote out implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccination delivery system. And he just assigned each letter a number. A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, and so on. And then he totaled the whole thing up. Now, when you take the words implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccination delivery system and you give each letter a number, it comes out to exactly 666. Exactly. Now, I'm sure that's just a coincidence, and I can't teach that as doctrine. It's just what I call one of those fun facts. Revelation 20, verse 4 says, "And I saw thrones, And they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. All this is leading you to the mark of the beast. There is no question about it. I believe that we will be raptured out before the mark of the beast finally shows up. You got to have the beast in order to have the mark of the beast. And I believe the Bible, when it teaches about a pre-tribulation rapture of the church, and I am absolutely a believer in the Bible doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. But make no mistake about it, all of this is creating the mark of the beast system, which I believe is already in place right here and right now. Now, we've been doing this podcast for 2 hours today. And have I played all of the clips that I had? No. I played about half of them. But, and you stop me if I'm wrong about this, have I made a convincing case to show you that they've lied to you about everything related to this vaccine? They told you if you took the vaccine, you wouldn't get sick. And if you got sick, you wouldn't go to the hospital. And if you went to the hospital, you wouldn't die. And that's not true. The vaccines didn't save anybody's life. The virus reached a peak and then it naturally subsided. There has been multiple waves of the virus. The waves of the virus have not been affected by the vaccines. And so what they say saved the lives of millions of people is a lie. Before there was a vaccine, the rate of people surviving COVID was 98.8%. 98.8% of all the people who got COVID lived through it. 1.2% of those people died, the majority of those people having extenuating medical conditions like obesity and diabetes. But we'll never know how many people actually died from COVID, because Dr. Deborah Birx said, we are counting COVID deaths in a very liberal manner, according to the Europeans. If you die with COVID, it's the same as dying from COVID. So we will never, ever, ever, ever know how many people actually died from COVID. That is not a number that anyone can ever tell you, ever. Because Dr. Deborah Birx told you they were going to lie about it, that they were not going to tell you the truth, that they were going to conflate people who died with COVID with people who died from COVID. And now you have no idea who died of COVID and who didn't die of COVID. You have no clue of any kind. But even with that, even with them fudging the numbers, 98.8% of everybody infected with COVID before there was a vaccine lived through COVID. All three of my children got COVID. I got COVID. My friends Dan and Sally, they got COVID. I know lots of people who got COVID. I know three people who died from COVID. If you break down the number of people that I personally know who had COVID and the number of people that I personally know who died from COVID, it's going to be right around 98.8% of all those people that I personally know who got COVID lived through it. But again, you're never going to know because they're never going to let you know. So what does the future look like? The future looks like that vaccine that Bill Gates keeps threatening you with, the little patch. That little patch has 18 microneedles. That little patch is a quantum dot microneedle tattoo. Could that be the reason why the book of Leviticus tells you not to get a tattoo? Is it possibly having something to do with the mark of the beast? Does the mark of the beast have something to do with a tattoo? It just might. I don't think the mark of the beast is only a tattoo, but could the mark of the beast have something to do with a tattoo? Why, absolutely. That verse that I just read to you in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Did you realize what that was saying? That the mark of the beast is on the inside and the outside of your body. Go back to Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads. That's on the outside. Or in their hands. That's on the inside. Do you know that the quantum dot microneedle tattoo is outside and inside? Do you realize that? Well, here's your King James Bible telling you the truth, that the mark of the beast is on the outside of your body and the inside of your body. The outside part, what's the outside part? That's the tattoo. What's the inside part? Turn to Revelation 13, and I'll show you the inside part. Revelation 13 says this, verse 16, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. Quantum dot microneedle tattoo. The one that we just talked about. The one that adds up to 666. But I'm sure that these things are all just coincidences. And why don't you just go back to watching Johnny Depp and Amber Heard fight each other in court? That's been all the news lately. Why don't you just go back and focus on what Russia's doing in Ukraine? Here's a fun one. Why don't you let yourself just stay distracted with the fact that there's not enough baby formula because the government is hoarding it all and giving it to illegal immigrants at the same time that Bill Gates is funding a company that makes artificial baby formula? You can't make this stuff up, people. You can't make this stuff up. And today I presented you with overwhelming evidence that they've lied to you the entire time, that they are lying to you currently. And whatever it is that they're going to tell us in the future, they're going to lie about that too. They have a 100% track record of telling you a lie. And every once in a while, they confuse you by telling you the truth. But we've told you the truth here today. Nat is asking me, is both in and on correct? Obviously, because Revelation 20 verse 4 shows you both of those things. But the new Bibles, and this is what makes me mad, Revelation 13, 17, it removes the in part and says on. And they want you to believe that it's only on the outside of the skin, where it's not. It is on the inside and the outside of the skin. And I believe that the mark of the beast is going to be a tattoo on the outside. It's going to be an implantable device on the inside. And I believe that it's going to do exactly what the Bible says that it's going to do. It is going to control buying and selling. Because that's exactly what the mark of the beast does. Now, I want you to pray for my friend Annetta, who is showing some miraculous signs of coming back from the stroke that she had 2 days ago. Please, please, please keep Annetta in your prayers. Keep Giacomino in your prayers as he battles prostate cancer and he's taking his radiation treatments. Please keep John Henry in your prayers. He's in the hospital right now. And please pray for our free Bible and gospel tract program. Please, please, please. And please pray about becoming a donor to this program. We need your help. We want to do more. Please pray about donating and helping us to send more Bibles and put up more billboards. Just go to nowtheendbegins.com. On the right side of any article, you will see a way that you can donate. There's a donate link at the top of our website. And when you donate, you help us to send out Bibles and tracts around the world. You help us to do all these things. Donna Lynn says, please pray for Dean, who has extreme anxiety. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday morning for our Sunday service. I hope you guys have a good weekend. But we have, there's so much going on. This is not letting up. Everything that we've been telling you about for the past 787 days, all of these things are continuing. You may think that just because they let you take your mask off, or your kids are allowed back in school, or the restaurants where you live are full again, nothing has changed. All this stuff is still going on. It's going on full speed. But what they're doing now is they're distracting you. Are you going to allow yourself to be distracted? Or are you going to remind yourself that the war is real, the battle is hot, and the time is short, and we've got to get to the fight? Thank you, everybody. Thank you for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for our House Church Sunday service. Have a great weekend, everybody.
We have an incredible opportunity to create entirely new sustainable industries, investing in nature as the true engine of our economy.
The current global crisis has disrupted every aspect of our lives, but it has also presented us with an extraordinary opportunity, a chance to reset and accelerate efforts to improve the state of our world.
Changing our current trajectory will require bold and imaginative action, together with determination and decisive leadership. In order to secure our future and to prosper, we need to evolve our economic model, putting people and planet at the heart of global value creation. If there is one critical lesson we have to learn from this crisis, we need to put nature at the heart of how we operate. We are on the verge of catalytic breakthroughs that will alter our view of what is possible and profitable within the framework of a sustainable future. We need nothing short of a paradigm shift, one that inspires action at revolutionary levels and pace. We simply cannot waste any more time. The only limit is our willingness to act. So, ladies and gentlemen, my plea today is for countries to come together to create the environment that enables every sector of industry to take the action required. We know this will take trillions, not billions, of dollars. We also know that countries, many of whom are burdened by growing levels of debt, simply cannot afford to go green. Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector. With trillions at its disposal, far beyond global GDP, and with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders, it offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition. And the time to act is now.
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah!